Christmas bells ringing both from the steeples of churches and in the storefronts. And you can see that people really start to feel the magic of the season. The radio waves are filled with endless streams of holiday music. Well, that might be taken a little bit too far as the goodness, because some people just don't love endless streams of Christmas music, but I think you get the point. There's just that period of time where it almost seems like there may actually be peace on earth and goodwill to men. Black Friday, of course, being the exception to that. But nevertheless, for me, I would like to think that people feel this way because they become more acutely aware around Christmas of the gift that God provided for each of us, a gift that was meant to bring us peace and love and salvation, the gift of an infant boy who would save the world. But I'm not so naive as to believe that the world really, truly believes that that's the greatness of Christmas. Nevertheless, I don't really care why people get excited. I just like it. You know, there's just something magical about Christmas. Wouldn't you agree? Yeah. So our family had a three-day Christmas. We started on Christmas Eve, and we finished up on Monday. And as everybody left the house on Monday evening, something really bizarre happened in my house. I went back to my room to read a book while, you know, everybody had left and things were quieting down. And the next thing I know, my wife has taken down the Christmas tree. The ornaments are packed. The tree's been hauled out of the house. And bam, like that, Christmas is done, man. And this is really not in character for her, because you've heard me speak about her before. My wife, almost as much as my daughter, loves Christmas. Our house gets transformed. We have a Santa sanctuary. I think we're in excess of 100 Santas after this year's offerings. So it's really something. And for her to haul this tree out was just not in character at all. But truth be told, I have to admit that our tree was losing needles at an alarming rate, and frankly, I think she just got tired of sweeping every 45 minutes because it seemed like she would just finish and this whole new gift of Christmas needles would be there waiting for her. So really, I think she got tired of it because she did leave the rest of the decorations up. But her doing that, you know, started me thinking, and I was like, you know, everybody gets all geared up for this. The retail stores, you can't believe how early they start. I mean, it seems like Halloween is just barely over, and already they're hauling out the Christmas ornaments and the decorations and the candy canes. Yet just as soon as it's over, as soon as they've got as much out of the season as they can, they've just wrung it all out. Let's all move on to the next buying opportunity, whatever that holiday may be. And it made me wonder, you know, I wonder if our spiritual lives sometimes have a similar transformation. So here in Grace Community, you know, we set up for Christmas at the Thanksgiving dinner, and we assemble what I think has to be one of the tallest artificial trees ever. We sing these timeless Christmas carols each week. We light the Advent candle. The kids prepare for and deliver always what is an amazing and heartfelt Christmas pageant. And it just seems like here we just get in the spirit. And for me, that gets me in the spirit, and I seem to be more focused on Jesus and all of the things that the season means for us. And everything just seems front and center. But then as soon as Christmas is over, much like my Christmas tree, it goes away. Although I do seem to remember one year where I really thought that we were probably going to be able to hide Easter eggs under that tree if someone didn't haul it down. It has a tendency to stay around a little while sometimes. Yeah. But I think the point that I'm trying to get a point is that the festive lights shut off, the holiday music extravaganza goes quiet, and then the cold and bleak winter months start to set in. And it seems like in the darkness of those winter months that the hope and the peace that had built up in everybody just suddenly starts to disappear. And I have to admit to you that I feel this happens sometimes in my own spiritual life, maybe not just at Christmas, but at various portions throughout my walk. And I wonder if some of you feel that way too, where you get all built up for something and you're feeling really empowered. You feel really close to Jesus. And then sometimes for reasons we can't really explain, everything just kind of goes quiet. Any of you ever experienced that in your lives before? So I asked Brian to play that offering song for you today for a couple of reasons. Number one, it's very selfish. It's one of my favorite Christmas carols, and I'm trying to cling to the season as much as I can, but I really love that song. But the other reason that I had him play it is because there is a really powerful message in that song. And it's a message, actually, that was born out of some personal tragedy for the person who wrote that. Does anyone know who wrote the song or the poem for which that song was adapted? So one of the arguably greatest American poets, Henry Wadsworth Longfellow, penned a poem called Christmas Bells, and that was adapted into this song, I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day. And Wadsworth had some tremendous struggles in his life that was really the backstory for this particular poem. It is said that Henry Wadsworth Longfellow had three loves in his life. He dearly loved his country, he loved his family, and he loved Jesus Christ. And those were the three foundations on which he built his life. Wadsworth first tasted the bitterness of tragedy when he lost his first wife, Mary, after she had a miscarriage in the year 1835. And in the intervening years, he really leaned heavily on his faith to get through those difficult times. But then he found joy, and he remarried in 1843 to a woman named Frances Appleton. Again, it is said that Franny, or Fanny as she was called, and Longfellow were madly in love with each other, and they had really found what all of us seek in that ultimate happiness in their life. And they had five wonderful children, and everything really seemed perfect for them. But then in 1861, the opening salvos of the Civil War were fired in the springtime. And because he was such a patriot, the Civil War, and just the very root of its meaning, tore at Longfellow's heart. It was very discouraging and disheartening for him to see his country being rent apart. Unfortunately, Longfellow's suffering was only just beginning. In April, as the warmth of the spring started to rear its head in the area where Longfellow lived, his wife Fanny was cutting the hair of their daughter Edith, who apparently had very long curly locks, and she was just too hot with the spring warmth that was starting to come on. And so Fanny was cutting her hair, and apparently the thing to do in those days is if you wanted to preserve the hair for a scrapbook or something of that nature, you would take wax from a candle and you would seal the hair. And so that's what she was doing. She was sealing some of Edith's hair in wax. What she didn't realize is that as she was doing so, some of the wax dripped onto her dress, and as a breeze blew through the window, the candle flickered and it caught her dress on fire. Now, she had two of her girls in the room with her, and so she didn't want to either scare them or, more importantly, have them be injured because of it, so she took off and ran down the hall to the study where Longfellow was writing in his journal. Well, we all know what happens when you run with fire. The flames grew, and soon she was engulfed in those flames. So Longfellow, in his absolute horror, jumped up from his chair and grabbed a throw rug that was on the floor and tried to put her out. And when that didn't work, he embraced her in his own arms and he patted those flames out on her body until all of the flames had been put out. And in the case of this, he sustained significant burns himself. Well, sadly, as you may expect, his wife, you know, in 1861 did not survive the extent of her burns. She died the next day. Longfellow's burns were so severe that he was not even able to attend her funeral. And so severe were the wounds and the eventual scars that formed that Longfellow was forced to grow what became ultimately his trademark long flowing beard, not because he liked it, but because it hid the painful scars and the painful memories found in those scars from the world. So as you might imagine, Longfellow was plunged into a very deep depression at losing the love of his life. Longfellow was known to journal throughout his days, and that was where a lot of his works were found, were in the things that he had journaled. And on the first Christmas following his wife's death, Longfellow wrote in his journal, "How inexpressibly sad are all the holidays." And on the first anniversary of her death, Longfellow took up his journal again and he wrote, "I can make no record of these days. It's better to leave them wrapped in silence. Perhaps someday God will give me peace." Well, the following Christmas was no better for the poet. On Christmas Day, his journal read, "A Merry Christmas, say the children, but that is no more for me." You see, Longfellow's spirit at the loss of his wife was crushed. The Christmas bells for him had gone silent. And a year later, as the Civil War raged on, further deepening Longfellow's depression, tragedy struck again as his oldest son, Charles, was fighting in battle and was shot in the back. And that was it for Longfellow. He had had about as much as his soul could take. And for an entire year, just as the Christmas bells were, Longfellow's journal became silent. And as I was reading through this historical account, this heart-wrenching tale of this man's pain, I could not help but ask, how does a person overcome that much grief? How do you reconcile a loving, giving God when you experience such profound loss? I, for myself, cannot imagine the depth of the struggle that Longfellow and many others since him have endured in trying to find an inner peace with this loss and to try and make sense of the pain while maintaining some form of healthy and loving relationship with God. And I know that each of us, not hopefully in the same way, but have felt similar pain and found similar struggles in our own faith. Life has its ups and downs, and there are certainly times where we are going to experience despair, much as Longfellow did. We despair over illnesses, both with ourselves and with our family. We despair over the death of loved ones, difficulties in a marriage or a relationship, job problems, careers that just don't seem to be going anywhere, struggles with perhaps a sin that no one knows about but that eats at us deeply every day. We all struggle. And then I was reminded of the words that Jesus shared with his disciples in John chapter 16, verse 33, as he prepared them for his own impending death. Jesus told them, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. Because in this world you will have trouble. But take heart, because I have overcome the world." And in that verse, I was reminded that Jesus too had experienced suffering, the likes of which none of us will hopefully ever experience. That he knew the feeling of despair, and that he went through all of these feelings and emotions as a human so that he could show us that in the depths of our own earthly struggles that we are not alone. That he has left with us his Spirit, his Holy Spirit, which joins together with us to give us strength when we cannot find the strength within ourselves. And that in his atonement for our sins on the cross and his resurrection from death, he proves to us that the worst things in this life are not the last thing. That no matter how dark the winter seems, that there is always hope to be found. That just because the bells in your life seem to have gone silent does not mean that they have stopped ringing. Well, perhaps it was these very meditations which spoke to Longfellow's broken soul, because the following Christmas in 1864, he once again began to hear the Christmas bells. You see, against all odds, his son Charles had actually survived his gunshot wound, a bit of a miracle in and of itself. And after he had spent time in the hospital, he returned home to convalesce with his father. And during the Christmas season, Longfellow was sitting quietly in his study, journaling. And in the silence from the bells of a nearby church, he heard Christmas carols ring out. And once again, the bells had meaning for him. And he realized that the peace that he had been seeking wasn't going to be found in the world, but it was going to be found in rekindling his spirit and his faith in God. And just as an infant's birth brought light into a world filled with darkness, so did these Christmas bells pierce the darkness of Longfellow's depression. And in response to that, he quickly penned what has become this famous poem, Christmas Bells. Now, the original poem contains three extra verses as they apply to the darkness and the despair that he felt over the Civil War, and so that wasn't included, obviously, in the Christmas carol. But I want you to hear the poem in its entirety so that you can truly experience the overwhelming dam of emotion that broke in Longfellow that day and flooded out as he reflected on the past several years of his life. Have a listen to Christmas Bells. I heard the bells on Christmas Day, their old familiar carols play, and wild and sweet their songs repeat of peace on earth and goodwill toward men. And thought how as the day had come, the belfries of all Christendom had rolled along that unbroken song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Till ringing, singing on its way, the world revolved from night to day, a voice, a chime, a chant sublime of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Then from each black accursed mouth, the cannon thundered in the south, and with the sound, the carols drowned of peace on earth, goodwill to men. It was as if an earthquake rent the hearthstones of a continent and made forlorn the households born of peace on earth, goodwill to men. And in despair, I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said, for hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Now, how tragic would it have been if that were the end of Longfellow's poem? I think if he had written this poem a year before, that is exactly what he would have ended it with, because that is where he found himself, locked in a despair, realizing that hate was everywhere, and it mocked this song of peace and goodwill. And sadly, I think that that's where so many people find themselves, down in this despairing pit where they don't see any signs of hope, and the thought of peace just is non-existent. But thank God that wasn't the end of the poem, because Longfellow gives us hope at the end of his emotional offering. Listen closely now to the words of this powerful conclusion. Then pealed the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail, with peace on earth and goodwill to men. And this is really the message that I want you to take home with you today and carry with you throughout the year. That this man, from the depths of his despair, once again heard those Christmas bells. And as they rang out, it rekindled that faith that he once had, that had sustained him in dark times in the past. And then in rekindling this faith, he learned a very valuable lesson, that the bells hadn't gone quiet. They had been ringing all along. He had just stopped listening to them. And this same message applies to each of us. Whether your faith has gone into a post-Christmas hibernation, or you're truly struggling with issues so deep that you have abandoned all hope of peace, listen again to these words from Longfellow. The wrong shall fail, and the right prevail. And why? Because God is not dead, nor does he sleep. The bells ring on incessantly, every day, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. The bells ring for us, calling us to find peace and rest in Jesus. And all you have to do is listen. You will not find your peace in this earth. There can be no peace in this earth as long as man's evil nature persists. But there is a place where you can find peace. In the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 27, Jesus assures us that his peace is with us. Peace I leave with you, he says. My peace I give to you. And I do not give to you as the world gives, because so often the world takes away. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. You see, Jesus is the source of our earthly peace. And one day God will trade his bells for a trumpet. And when that trumpet blares, he will return and he will set up a kingdom on earth. And only then will there truly be peace on earth. But until that time, I implore you, never stop listening for those bells, because they ring for each of us. And they are filled with hope and love and peace. Can you hear them? I pray that you do. Would you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the gift that you gave us on that Christmas day when you brought a Savior to the world, when you yourself stepped out of heaven and became flesh to show us that you understand the struggle that we have here on earth, that you do not judge from afar without knowing the pain that most of us will feel at some point in our lives, that you too have experienced what we do and will experience. Lord, thank you for showing us that the struggle does not have to be the end, and that in the midst of our struggle, that there is light and there is hope and there is peace to be found in you. Thank you for saving us, for showing us that there is more than just the things from this life. May we ever be mindful of the fact that your bells constantly ring. They ring out with the truth that you are the King of the world, and that you came to us as a servant to show us just how much you care. Help us as we go through not just this season, but every day of our lives, to listen for your bells and to feel your peace. Lord, we thank you for your amazing gift. Amen.